Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
We return with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find Liberty Conspiracy every Monday through Friday at Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter /XFeed at Guard Goldsmith. And, of course, I invite you anytime to subscribe free over at my Substack. And remember, every Sunday you'll find at least 20 news stories plus video links pertaining to freedom. And I get to add contextual information that hopefully will help break apart those news stories and let us derive intellectual ammunition to take with us for future situations that are similar. Let's continue with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. You don't need me to moralize, so let me continue here. I'm going to go back just a little bit here so you can get this. Again, if you think this is valuable, this coverage, you want to, you know, get it out there to people on Rumble. Later, if you're watching after the fact, just click. You'll see the visuals pop up in the show if you scroll along. Oh, that's the point. And you can send it to a friend if you think this is valuable. So let's continue here. Going back just a second to Mr. I Want That Waterfront Property guy. I know just how to do it and how to develop land. I wonder what he would have said about Indian tribes.
That nobody's taking the refugees. But also there are real fears on the part of Arabs, and I'm sure you talked to a lot of them, who think...
Oh, by the way, the idea that somebody has to take the refugees, that his friends in Israel, and by the way, he's good friends with Benjamin Netanyahu, that his friends are creating, the idea that he can now impose another imposition on people in other countries, so it's really bad that they're not taking these refugees. Your friends are creating the refugee problem. And now you're assuming that other people should be responsible for taking them in? Is that it? Is that the story? Man, unbelievable. I had not seen Jared Kushner speak more than this before in my life. This is my first real exposure to this guy. I'm stunned by this guy's absolute robotic, slippery, lizard-like approach to human beings. And the way that he, I don't want to over-psychoanalyze, but he seems to accept a lot of these notions, terminologically, normalcy bias, or perhaps he's actually much more dastardly and knows the evil of these things. But this is oftentimes, as Hannah Arendt might, to paraphrase Hannah Arendt, you know, this is the way that evil becomes blasé, just repeatedly using these terms, that sort of thing. And this is their operational structure. So it's fine. We're comfortable on this operational structure, on this platform that we on which we operate. And all the people there, they're just insects that we can move around and we can fumigate places and get rid of them. That's just amazing.
Gazans leave Gaza, Netanyahu's never going to let them back in.
Maybe, but I'm not sure there's much left of Gaza at this point. So, you know, if you think about even the construct, like, you know, Gaza was not really a historical precedent, right? It was the result of a war.
Well,
right? You had tribes that were in different places, but then Gaza became a thing. Egypt, you know, used to run it. And then, you know, over time, you had different governments that came in different ways. So you have another war, you know.
Gaza exists because of Israeli aggression. That's why. Because they took the homes of the Palestinians there, and then they created this thing called Gaza to put them into. And, of course, Netanyahu and Western powers, like the U.S. government, pushed for the Palestinian state, so-called, there in Gaza to be run by Hamas. Amazing.
You know, borders are changed historically over time.
Borders are changed historically over time.
Wow.
On that note, though, Ryan, it was when you were talking about how Netanyahu was making the point.
Just listening, folks, we switch over from the Young Turks and their good coverage. This is Counterpoints, and they're covering similar and similar quotes from Jared Kushner.
Having people who can string English sentences. this together. It reminded me that Jared Kushner
unfortunately can string sentences together.
He was stringing those sentences together in an interview with The Guardian, and there is video of a fascinating exchange between The Guardian and Jared Kushner about Gaza. Let's take a look at that.
Syria, when there's refugees, Turkey took them, Europe took them, mm-hmm. Jordan took them. For whatever reason, here in Gaza, there's refugees from the fighting, from an offensive attack that was staged from Gaza. Israel's going in to do a long-term deterrence mission. And it's just, it's unfortunate that nobody's taking the refugees. But also,
let me ask you, sorry to be pausing again. Would you describe this as a long-term deterrence action or position? To me, that tells me this guy knows what's going on, and he's just trying to put all sorts of paint. He's putting lipstick on the evil, devilish pig. Saw some great comments in Rockfin and Rumble, by the way, everybody. We're going to get right to those, so if I missed anything, drop it down in there. Get ready. This is, coming up, we'll go to Rockfin and Rumble before we close off. Here we go.
Real fears on the part of Arabs, and I'm sure you talked to a lot of them, who think once Gazans leave Gaza, Netanyahu's never going to let them back in.
Maybe, but I'm not sure there's much left of Gaza at this point. So, you know, if you think about even the construct, like, you know, Gaza was not really a historical precedent, right? It was the result of a war, right? You had tribes that were in different places, but then Gaza became a thing. Egypt, you know, used to run it. And then, you know, over time, you had different governments that came in different ways. So you have another war. You know, usually when wars happen, borders are changed historically over time. And so my sense is I would say, how do we deal with the terror threat that is there so that it cannot be a threat to Israel or to Egypt, right? I think that both sides are spending a fortune on military. I think neither side really wants to have, you know, a terrorist organization enclave right between them. And Gaza's waterfront property, it could be very valuable to if people would focus on kind of building up livelihoods. You think about all the money that's gone into this tunnel network and all the munitions, if that would have gone into education.
Just to point out, the tunnels mostly were built earlier by the Israelis, but we'll continue.
Or innovation.
Biden should recognize the Palestinian Authority unilaterally as a state, and MBS should go to Jerusalem like Egyptian President Anwar Sadat did in 1977, and he should say, I'll normalize with Israel, I'll recognize West Jerusalem as your capital, and I'll even pay to rebuild Gaza if you recognize a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital. What do you think? Good idea?
No, I don't think that's a good idea. I think that there's certain elements that are correct. I think proactively recognizing a Palestinian state would essentially be rewarding an act of terror.
Waterfront property, he said, if the money from the tunnels would have been redirected, I think he said towards education and innovation, but it was in the context actually talking about how you could redevelop Gaza into, quote, very valuable waterfront property. Ryan, what's your reaction to that?
Well, there was also that line he had where he said, for whatever reason, there's refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for whatever reason, interesting. Then he also said that Gaza is a construct. Like, so just Google to make sure. You know, Wikipedia says the known history of Gaza is that spans 4,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Pompeii took it at one point. Alexander the Great took it at one point. Bedouins.
Yeah. So there you go, everybody. Just amazing, amazing stuff to see. And so let's get your comments, one and all, and see what you have to say over at Rockfin and Rumble Chat. Great number of folks watching on X. Really appreciate you doing so. And, again, if you want to, you know, great coverage, Young Turks, those folks we just saw, Grand Theft World did amazing coverage of this. And I went in and took some of the stuff that Grand Theft World was putting out there, got some of my own stuff, wanted to put that together for you. As well as that unbelievable Donald Trump statement. I mean, just absolutely heartless, totally heartless. And, you know, it's possible someone could talk to Donald Trump and say, what exactly did you mean there? Like, you didn't really mention the lives being lost. Do you sentimentally feel about this? What's going on? Because your son-in-law certainly doesn't seem to care very much about this at all. There is one little bit more that I want to show from Counterpoints here.
In fact, the IDF has tragically destroyed archaeological sites that are some of the most kind of important to archaeology in the world, have destroyed buildings that are from the 6th and 7th century.
So, yeah. But, you know, there's no history there or anything like that. You know, it's just very important to keep it in mind. So, first, over in Rockfin, first, I saw a while back Tom Cooper was there, and Tom Cooper was talking about solitary confinement. Thank you. If you're just listening and you want to find links, again, this is what I like so much, and hopefully tomorrow night I'll be able to open up, or Friday night I'll be able to open things up. I'll put the link in if you want to join me on the show, either by audio or by cam, to just comment about something over the past few days, something that's in your mind or something we discuss on the show at that moment. I'll put that link in and you'll join me in the conspiracy. We'll hang out. And, you know, it's like taking calls, but a little bit more than that. And Tom Cooper put in a couple links about a guy who was in solitary confinement for, I think, 40 years. And it's just, thanks, Tom. That's a great resource. I really appreciate it. And there's more in there that I want to check out. But first, I want to thank Carlos Rex over on Rockfin. Carlos contributed $10 to the show, and I really appreciate that. That's really, really great. Really important to me to be able to, you know, start setting something up, and I'm going to try to figure out what I'm going to do on a budget and things like that, trying to make sure this sustains itself. And in addition to the work that I do contractually for MRC TV, which isn't, I'm not like a full employee over there. So I really appreciate them, you know, asking me to do the work over there that I get to do. So that's really nice. And over at Rumble Chat, Birdhouse Blues says, so they're killing refugees because of embedded Hamas terrorists. And Jared wants countries to take in these same refugees. Doesn't make sense. No, it certainly doesn't, because, of course, Jared knows that they're indiscriminately killing innocent women and children, and yet he feels so bad that the innocent women and children can't get brought into a place, you know, the ones that aren't killed. He doesn't seem to mention them. Strange, isn't it? Strange. He's upset about the countries that might not want to answer to his force or his compulsion, if he could do it, to get these people to take in the refugees into their countries. But he has no problem with the Israeli government and his friend Benjamin Netanyahu, who visits his house, doing a lot worse. So with that stated, I'll give you this last quick reminder. Don't forget, government funding bill signed by Biden includes $3.8 billion in so-called military aid for Israel, patently unconstitutional, and cuts funding to UNRWA. So that's the last bit for that, but I want to do something else here and talk about the United States government and a theme that we can play for it and about all states. If you're not familiar with these guys, they're the Sons of Hercules with Gimme Some. Out of San Antonio, Texas, folks, the Suns. Yes, they are very good. From reparations to just general taxation, it's always so hopefully I can entice people or encourage people to fight back in any way they possibly can. That is peaceful. Yes, indeed. Great stuff. Got to meet these guys in Las Vegas at the Vegas Shakedown. Bunch of great garage bands there. Fantastic to meet those guys. And so let's do this, one and all. I'm going to go back here and give you a little something from MRC TV about how the government in Washington, D.C. wants to facilitate the taking of people's firearms. Here it is, everybody. Kamala Harris.
In a move indicating that they have no intent.
I know that voice. Here it is.
In a move indicating that they have no intention of ending their tax-funded attacks on the right to keep and bear arms, Attorney General Merrick Garland and Vice President Kamala Harris, with great fanfare, used taxpayer funds to announce that the Biden administration has created a new bureau to help state governments impose and enforce so-called red flag laws on their residents and, yes, steal their guns without due process. Hi, everyone. I'm Gardner Goldsmith for MRC TV, and here's the story. At last count, 22 states have passed and 21 states have enforced these so-called laws, which they've given myriad Orwellian titles such as extreme risk protection order, risk warrant, that term used in Connecticut, a title that, of course, undermines the meaning of the word warrant. They've also used the term gun violence restraining order, that one in California. And if it's really a restraining order, then why does the state seize a personal belonging without trial? And they've used more. And the state of Maine has a yellow flag order that allows the government to arrest a targeted person, put him or her through a psychological exam, then get a so-called court order, not a warrant, to search for and seize property as is required by the Fourth Amendment, and then take a gun without any trial or even an accusation of criminal activity. Evidently aware that this kind of towering malfeasance on the part of government gets a lot of pushback on a national level, Harris, Garland, and their ilk have done what Biden has done when it comes to making taxpayers cover the debt of college loan recipients. They've made an end run around clear constitutional prohibitions that should stop them. Richard Luscombe writes for The Guardian, quote, "The launch of the Federal Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center, ERPO, follows Joe Biden's establishment of the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention in September, which the president tapped Harris to lead. Operated through the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Solutions and paid for by a Justice Department grant, ERPO is designed to help state and local governments, law enforcement, and others, including behavioral health and social service providers, optimize the use of red flag laws," Harris said. Curiously, despite the fact that the Constitution contains no provision for the feds to give grants to colleges, and despite the clear wording of the Second Amendment stating that Congress shall make no law infringing the right to keep and bear arms, Luscombe also observes that this new office will provide training and technical assistance, including educational opportunities and workshops for a wide variety of stakeholders. How nice. We get to enjoy that stakeholder term again. It's the current rhetorical fave that tyrants use when trying to look inclusive, when attempting to make people believe that they're respecting individual rights while they attack individual rights and decide that you are not your own stakeholder with God-given rights. It seems a lot like a velvet glove around an iron fist of fascism. Luscombe continues, quote, "Only 21 states have implemented red flag laws only, and the White House said that only six of those states have taken advantage of $750 million in funding that the Biden administration made available through the 2022 Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, BSCA, yeah, BS for sure, for crisis intervention initiatives such as red flag programs and mental health, drug, and veteran treatment courts." Of course, if you watch your local news in any of these areas, you're likely going to see unquestioning celebration of the funds. You'll likely see little to no questions regarding the unconstitutionality or immorality of the red flag laws or the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. And you won't see any such questions in Lustom's Guardian piece, despite his report having a direct tie to a profoundly important portion of the Constitution, and despite the threats to liberty such red flag statutes represent. One person who has bothered to pay attention to rights and the Constitution is Congressman Thomas Massie, Republican of Kentucky, who Saturday posted this on X. What the hell is this evil? A federal red flag center. We did not authorize this. Announced, of course, just hours after the omnibus passes. Ann Massie also posted the fatuous self-congratulations Merrick Garland issued as part of his and Kamala's public relations blitz. That's the one in which he said, quote, "The launch of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center will provide our partners across the country with valuable resources to keep firearms out of the hands of individuals who pose a threat to themselves or others. The establishment of the center is the latest example of the Justice Department's work to use every tool provided by the landmark Bipartisan Safer Communities Act to protect communities from gun violence. Since, of course, all political governments operate only by threatening people with violence if those people don't want to hand over their hard-earned cash, and since all government attempts to infringe on our right to keep and bear arms are enacted with the threat of government-held guns that are behind them, that kind of language from Garland is more than a bit hard to swallow. But it's worse than just the inverted morality here. It's bigger than the assumptive rhetoric and the fact that there's no enumerated power for this money shoveling or the feds to even open such an office. As I noted for MRC-TV, all so-called red flag statutes breach numerous portions of the Bill of Rights. How can a person be punished if he or she hasn't been accused of a crime or found guilty after due process? You know, this incredible attack on the Constitution and rights not only presents those questions, it already has seen terrible abuses. On November 5th, 2018, police in Anne Arundel County, Maryland, killed Ferndale resident Gary Willis shortly after 5 a.m. as they attacked his home under the unconstitutional and immoral auspices of executing, you got it, a red flag statute.
Thanks for listening to Free Talk Live and Liberty Conspiracy. Keep fighting for freedom all. This is Gardner Goldsmith. Really appreciate you tuning in.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. The East Coast's largest crane is now at the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse. Crews face the task of clearing approximately 4,000 tons of debris from the ship's bow, which collided with the Francis Scott Key Bridge earlier this week. The debris is impeding search efforts for the four missing construction workers who are presumed dead. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said lowering interest rates would not be suitable until officials are assured that inflation is progressing toward the Fed's 2% target.
February is lower, but it's not as low as most of the good readings we got in the second half of last year.
Speaking from San Francisco Friday, Powell referenced the latest inflation data, which he indicated aligns with the central bank's projections. Former President Trump is set to host a fundraiser in Palm Beach on April 6th, which will be hosted by a hedge fund founder. Trump's anticipated to generate $33 million at his upcoming event. John Schaefer, USA News.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Welcome to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. You can listen to Liberty Conspiracy live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rockfin, Rumble, and on my Twitter /X feed at Gard Goldsmith. You can also find my Substack. Of course, just look for the Gardner Goldsmith Substack and find my work at mrctv.org. As Spinal Tap said, everybody, they said, give me some money.
I'm nobody's fool. I'm nobody's clown. I'm treating you cool. Putting you down, but baby, I don't intend to leave empty-handed.
So we have a lot of questions. Obviously, we have a lot of questions about this. But one thing we don't have to question is what is written in the U.S. Constitution and what they are doing there to try to cater and play favorites and even say that it is essential for the United States. And now I want to welcome my guest to talk about what he experienced. Next 10 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by Glenn Jacobs, mayor of Knox County, and a man who can relate to us his experience as the United States tried to step in and claim that they could do everything on the federal side, even tell us what jobs were essential and what jobs were not essential. Glenn Jacobs is with us. Hi, Glenn. How are you? And good morning.
Good morning, Gard. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the David Knight Show. I usually see you in other forms. It was great to see you weekend before last. I really appreciate being able to see you.
Yeah.
Great to see you. You gave us a great speech. And, folks, if you're not familiar, Glenn is down in Tennessee. He also used to live up in New Hampshire. We got to know each other real well. A lot of pro-liberty themes we would discuss, have great times. And Glenn is down in Tennessee now, and he's the mayor of Knox County. And Glenn, during his speech here in New Hampshire a couple weeks ago, stopped up for the Free State Project, gave a terrific speech about some of his experiences
in his position as mayor of Knox County, meeting with some of the officials from Washington. In particular, we have Deborah Birx. Right, Glenn?
Yes, sir.
Now, it's
quite an interesting conversation we had.
Oh, yes, indeed. I happen to report from MRC TV about a couple things. One was the fact that Deborah Birx, and I'll put this on the screen for both of us, Deborah Birx admitted in Washington in April that if someone dies with a positive PCR test, they're counting it as a death from COVID, caused by COVID, which, of course, means that no one can ever know how many people died from this virus that they said was a pandemic, but they can't say it was a pandemic. We also know that Medicare subsidized hospitals to the tune of sometimes four times what they normally would have gotten from insurance if they got people on breathing apparatuses and claim that they had been dealing with them for COVID. You met with Deborah Birx. When was this? And tell the audience of the David Knight Show a little bit about just what she revealed to you behind closed doors, Glenn.
Yeah, this was in 2020 when COVID was kind of really kicking up. And she came to Tennessee. The reason for that was she was touring all the Southeastern Conference schools. So she had been to Kentucky, to Lexington, she had been to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and came here. And what our media did locally is, oh my gosh, things are so bad that Deborah Birx is coming. Well, it was actually just a routine thing that she was doing, going around the country telling people what to do. But nevertheless, it was not like we were having this big emergency here that required a White House intervention.
It was Deborah Birx on tour. I could have got the tour. I could have got the tour scarf.
Yeah.
Forget the
tour. Yeah, I wish I, yeah, exactly. I wish I'd gotten a T-shirt. you know, I'd have thrown it in the bonfire later. But in any case, if you're so inclined, please pick up and read a copy of Scott Atlas's book, A Plague Upon Our House, in which he lays out what was going on behind the scenes. And we all think of Fauci as being the COVID guru. Well, Fauci was the face of it, but it was really Birx who was the architect of everything going on. And recently she even admitted that, you know, this whole thing about 15 days to flatten the curve was really a Trojan horse to bring in the lockdowns and much more long-term restrictions on the American people. But when she came here, we met at the University of Tennessee in one of the big conference rooms, and there were, oh gosh, probably 20 people there. They all had PhDs and MDs with the exception of me. It's in the room. And we're all sitting there wearing masks, sitting 25 feet apart. And the ironic thing about the masks was you couldn't hear someone when they were talking. So they would take the mask off to talk, and I'm like, let's see, if this is supposed to be stopping spittle from coming out and spreading through the air, that's a heck of a way to do it. Nevertheless, though, what struck me was, first of all, you know, Birx, going back to Atlas's book, Birx did not actually have all this tremendous knowledge that was being ascribed to her. She was pulling statistics from publicly available stuff, such as reports coming from the states, even some websites. So what she was saying as authoritative knowledge was not at all. You know, and we hear these daily death counts and daily case counts. Well, the problem with that is how were they getting those from? And in many cases, they were aggregated over a certain period of time, whether it's over the past few weeks or whatever. But they report them as one day, and these were not real-time statistics. And as you said, they were very flawed because of the methodology that was being used to gather those stats.
Yes.
But the thing that really got me was someone asked her, what should we do here? And her response was, well, you need to shut down your bars and restaurants, especially those around campus. And to their credit, someone pointed out, well, Dr. Birx, the data shows that the virus is not spreading in bars and restaurants, which, frankly, we all knew. And she replied, yes, that's true, but we have to send a message that this is a serious situation.
Theater.
It was a PR campaign. It was marketing. Yeah, it was theater. And that's what throughout COVID, I mean, all the mask mandates, all those things, now we look back and we realize that, you know, the masks are ineffective. The reason that doctors wear masks in operating rooms is not to prevent airborne viruses. It is to keep blood out of their faces and mouths and to keep the spittle out of wounds, okay?
Right.
Masks can be effective against bacteria, which are much larger than viruses. In order to have a mask which would be effective against the virus, you have to have a respirator because you would inhibit the airflow to the point where you couldn't breathe because that's how small viruses are. But nevertheless, we were told at one point that, you know, masks were the most important thing you could do. No one knows where the 6 foot came from. I mean, Fauci's admitted that. I think we did get a good lesson in hygiene and hand washing. That was probably productive. But that was maybe one of the few things that actually came out of it. And, of course, you know, just shutting down the economy and locking our kids out of schools, I think are arguably the two biggest policy mistakes that this country has ever made.
And I know around
the world.
I was going to say, Glenn, I know that you fought very, very hard about mandates for the kids in schools and so on. And the composition of the Tennessee government and in your county made it very difficult to sort of combat these things after you got agreements and then you had more pressures and so on. And but you really stood tall in that area trying to go against a lot of this nonsense. And it's incredible to think that Deborah Birx can be celebrated by people in the pop media as some sort of heroine when she was just deceiving people all along. And as you mentioned, you know, Scott Atlas's book is terrific on that front. And I didn't know that, you know, back in the era of the AIDS, the initial days of AIDS, when she had found out that there was a tainted blood supply, I think I read this in Anthony Fauci's book, but I might have read it elsewhere, where she was going to have to go through a C-section, and she was aware of the tainted blood supply, and she was actually cited as having yelled out as they went into the emergency area for the surgery. She said, don't give me a blood transfusion. She was aware of it. And she didn't tell anybody else back, you know, before she joined up with the Trump campaign, the Trump team. It's amazing to see this, Glenn. And I think, unfortunately, so many people turn to these central authorities and they think they have this power. How was it for you, as you say, you know, you tried to stand up against the masking and so on, but the composition of the Tennessee government really made it difficult, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were shocked to see what was in our state laws concerning emergencies. And that was true around the country. Here in Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee's a great guy. He's a solid person. But I think we were all pretty stunned to realize that under the emergency powers that he had been granted in legislation concerning emergencies and health care crises, that he could literally act as a dictator through his Department of Health. Now, he did not do many of the things that other governors did, such as Gretchen Whitmer and Cuomo and Newsom. Thank goodness. But if it had been someone else than Bill Lee sitting there, we'd have had a real problem. And, you know, that's, I think, something that everyone needs to realize is, you know, these emergency power acts, they really need to be looked at and discussed. Judge Napolitano would talk about how the whole thing was unconstitutional, what was being done at the state level, because the Constitution guarantees a Republican form of government to the states, which means you have separation of powers, which means you have a legislature and an executive. What happened during COVID was the executive became a legislator as well through executive orders. So they're just, you know, they're just throwing out these executive orders. In many cases, the legislature was not meeting, talking about those. It was just edicts coming down from literally little kings and petty tyrants around the country. So it really didn't make a big difference where you lived, because so much of it depended on whether you're a governor would act in those ways. But nevertheless, as free people, we shouldn't have to worry about that. No one should ever be able to have those powers.
And you know, I've brought this up numerous times. You know my position on the Constitution. I would prefer it if the politicians who promise they're going to operate that way, it's always over my left shoulder. I would prefer it that the politicians who make their promises actually abide by it. And within it, the Constitution has the contract clause in there. So this model state health emergency legislation that was promulgated from Johns Hopkins in the after the 2001 anthrax scare and so on. And we saw this in New Hampshire when John Lynch was governor. I was on the radio in Manchester trying to warn people about this. Completely abrogates that portion. It's an utter usurpation of the contract clause, because if I have a contract with my employer or my employees or someone who's going to come do work on my house, and all of a sudden somebody says, you got to stand six feet apart, you have to eat outside, your employee have to wear masks. Well, that's a breach of the contract we already have. And no state legislature, it's prohibited by the Constitution, no state legislature can stop the fulfillment of a privately agreed to contract. I didn't
it's also,
one,
also yeah. a violation, sorry, garbage.
Yeah.
Business shutdowns were a violation of the Fifth Amendment as well, because you were depriving people of their liberty and their property without making restitution or fair market for that. So, you know, when you look at the Constitution, it does allow for things like eminent domain, but you have to compensate the taking. And in this case, it was just everybody's out of business, your business is ruined. Oh, well, and then of course they did make the wonderful choice of printing trillions of dollars, and the most expensive check that any of us got was the $1,300 from the federal government. But nevertheless, you know, they were depriving people of their liberty through unconstitutional takings, as well as those stay-at-home orders or shelter in place, clear violation of the Fourth Amendment. Because the police can't just stop you because you're driving down the road or because you're walking down the street. They have to have probable cause.
Yeah, well, in fact, you're supposed to get a warrant from a judge who determines that probable cause.
Right. And in this case, that's what happened. That's where there's an implied right to travel freely in the Fourth Amendment. That's where we derive that from. And that was just stepped all over. You know, all of a sudden, you couldn't leave your home. And I'm thinking, wow. America sure has changed over the past few weeks.
So true. And then of course, you've got the incentivization coming from the federal government, handing out all the money, which I think in macrocosm, in macroscope view, really sheds light on the apparatus that has been constructed over decades of political machinations of the government promising governors or mayors money for your highways or this. If you conform to Title IX, if you conform to this, you'll get your Medicare money, you'll get your Medicaid money, you'll get your education money. So they've constructed this very parasitic relationship between the central government, which of course is now $35 trillion in debt and is accruing another trillion every 100 days, and the states, which themselves often can't balance their own budgets, and so they rely on those other people. And the whole time, not only is the value of the monetary system being depreciated with every dollar that they're spewing out there, but the actual memories of what the Constitution says are being eroded by years and years of normalcy bias, I think.
I agree with you. I was speaking with a United States congressman, pretty good guy, and he pointed out that Constitution, you know, it's a flawed document, but it's the best thing that we have. It's the best thing, frankly, it's ever been created. But one of those flaws is that the federal government should never been allowed to dole money out to the states.
Yeah,
and
so
that's
true.
Exactly what happens is they just bribe the states essentially with their citizens' own money in many cases.
Oh, so that, and the future progeny's new money.
Yeah.
And their earnings, their toil, you know. And you know, Glenn, you and I often talk about economics, and you know, this is one of the things I try to mention to people, that when I go into class and I ask the students to look at the early the fundamental machines, you know, the simple machines, the lever, the wheel, the inclined plane. And I say, you know, all those things, human beings, they didn't sit down at tables and say, I'm going to invent the inclined plane. You know, cavemen used an angle so that they wouldn't need two people to lift something. One guy could push something up a ramp. Over distance, you're decreasing the amount of effort per unit, but you're increasing the number of units, so it makes it easier. Now you've freed one person. You become more efficient. That's what we're all trying to do. But the whole time they're putting out this money, they're borrowing, saying that it's helping us, it's actually destroying our inclined planes. And they're making us work harder for the things that we want. It's absolutely, it's crazy. It's really sad. You look at this Key Bridge situation. There's a very in-our-face example of a number of constitutional errors and economic errors and moral errors that these people are making. Yes, it might be important for the infrastructure. Yes, it might be important for this or that. It's in Maryland. I don't live in Maryland. And they can try to make an argument for me to say, well, we're doing what's right for you because we got to fix that so you can get sugar and your prices won't be so high. I'm sorry, but if you're going to open up that Pandora's box, then the government can do anything to facilitate ease for me to get anything. You can't do that morally and constitutionally. As I mentioned at the start of the show, they can only have control over three forms of land: military garrisons, Washington, D.C., and territories. I don't see interstate highways as military garrisons. They're not supposed to exist, but they have been existing for decades. So I think there are a lot of lessons to be learned here, and especially from what you saw with Deborah Birx, personality, person to person. You saw the face of it, and you know, you weathered the storm, Glenn, and it's great to see that you're still down there doing what's right. It's very difficult, I'm sure, for you to have gone through all those things and seen the problems that some of the kids experienced because of this. But you stood tall, and I appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you, Gard. I appreciate the kind words. And I think my one message is that folks shouldn't forget about what happened during COVID. And it seems like we're all so desperate to move on that we are. And the people that caused these enormous problems, in many cases, killing folks, not deliberately, but through their policies. And even realizing that the most logical explanation for how this thing, this coronavirus, came to be in the first place was gain-of-function experiments that the U.S. was helping to fund in another country. We should never forget those things. And the people that caused this need to be held accountable, because this is one of the worst political and economic disasters in American history.
Wow. Well said, Glenn. I'm delighted to have you as a friend. It's great to have you here. And I know you got to go. You got to do business down there. I'll look for you on Twitter. How can people follow you on Twitter, Glenn?
My Twitter handle, or X, I guess, X. Now, but I still call it Twitter. It's at Glenn with two N's, Jacobs TN. So it's GlennJacobsTN. That's also same on Instagram, and then they can also follow me on two places on Facebook, either the Knox County Mayor Glenn Jacobs page or Jacobs for Mayor.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, I will talk to you again off the air, Glenn. I hope you have a great day down there. Like I said, I might be seeing you looking around in Tennessee, and it'd be great to see you again. After seeing you last week, I'm like, oh, I got to see him again as soon as possible. And Glenn, before we go, I'll leave you with this as you sign off. I know you've got to fly, but we'll leave with this. We'll let you go, and we'll let the audience experience the wonderful Deborah Birx, as she admitted something and didn't seem to realize she was admitting it. Thanks, Glenn. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Glenn.
Take care, man. All right.
It doesn't make any sense.
What'd you find?
All of these books are under $5 at thriftbooks.com.
I just want for Dr. Fauci or Dr. Birx. So can you talk about your concerns about deaths being misreported by coronavirus because of either lack of testing or standards for how they're characterized?
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. And I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
Can you be sure? You hear from coroners that that's not necessarily the case. Or are you sure? How can you be confident about that? And is there any concern that it skews the data?
Yeah. Is there any concern? Perhaps there should have been some concern, right? Yes. And don't forget, hospitals got paid more if patients were listed as COVID-19. And kudos to USA Today for doing the fact check back in 2020, April 2020. And, of course, I'd love to get your comments. Let's hop over to Rumble and welcome everyone to the David Knight Show. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. You might know my work from MRC-TV, and I appreciate you finding my work online. If you want to follow me, it's at Gard Goldsmith. My Liberty Conspiracy work, I don't advertise my Liberty Conspiracy work for the MRC-TV, the Media Research Center people, when I do work for them. But they do let me mention my Twitter handle, the X handle, so that's at Gard Goldsmith. And, boy, it's just great to be filling in for David. Again, prayers for David that everything goes okay for him as he goes through some medical tests today. And over at Rumble, I saw a very key point here from CAF B, I think it is. Great education and points on the Constitution, but we are dealing with Marxists intentionally refusing to recognize it. Absolutely, absolutely right. It's very clear, you know, and unfortunately, I think a lot of people get caught up in, they hear that totemic term, Constitution, and so on and so forth, but they don't seem to read it. They just seem to take it as, well, that's a reassurance that they're operating according to this wonderful thing that evokes memories of patriotism and things like that. July 4th and the Declaration of Independence and so on and so forth. They don't even know the definition of rights anymore. You know, kids are told by pop media people that people have a right to the fruits of someone else's labor. People don't have positive rights to things. And by positive, I don't mean good. I mean posited by politicians. Positive. Positivism. They have negative rights. They have a right to be left alone. And, of course, because you were granted these rights by God. Thanks for listening. You can watch every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. live on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter X feed at Gard Goldsmith.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.